We own.
Free, take it away.
Yo, all yo.
Right. Yo, we are
yes.
in the building. New time, new line. You Up Radio, Saturday, 1 p.m. And I'm going to check and see if I got the crew. We had a little technical difficulty to start, but we're ready, willing, and able. So, Brother Will McKee, is you with me?
I'm in the building. You up?
Yeah,
I'm
man,
in the building.
I'm up. You know what I'm saying? Dr. Nyasia Douglas, are you up?
I'm up.
All right. And, of course, not the least, the man behind the board. Brother D, are you up?
I'm up.
All right. Well, let's get into it, man. It's been an interesting Saturday, but we made it. We made it. And before we get into anything, anybody got any shout-outs or anything they want to do before we get started?
Yeah, I want to give a special shout-out to and my Alabama listeners. We really appreciate that. One of our own from right here in North Carolina, Coach Connell Maynard, who was just named the new head football coach at Alabama A&M in the SWAC conference. So congratulations to him. He was at Hampton last year and Winston-Salem State before that. So I'm happy for the people of Huntsville, Alabama, and all of those Bulldogs down there, and happy for Connell and his coaching staff. So big shout-out to them.
Yes, and Connell was a legendary quarterback at A&T in the early 90s. So shout-out to that brother. And I think the official announcement will be Monday. They will have a press conference to announce if Alabama A&M University. Anybody else got any shouts?
I want to shout out those Philadelphia Eagles for tomorrow's
Uh-oh.
Game. And that's it. Hopefully, you know, we get a win. I say we because, again, you know, that was my team from back in the day, so I'm going to go ahead and
Do y'all hear that? It sounds like some wagon wheels squeaking.
Don't be like that.
Uh-oh, and here comes the band. Uh-oh. bandwagon.
So, you know what I say
all right,
to that?
Well, shout out to the Doves. I mean the Eagles. Shout out to the Eagles. Brother D, you got any shout?
Hey man, shout out to the new show and the new format, man. It's going down. So people, if you don't know, we're going to an hour format going forward. The show's now called You Up. So this is the kind of the transition show that we're doing. You'll be able to catch us. It's the You Up Saturday morning show. Sometimes it'll come on in the afternoon. But the question will still remain, are you up?
Are you up? And I'm definitely up. Well, look, let's talk what's pressing. I'm going to throw something out there. Now, the conversation we had at our most recent production meeting, which was like 3.5 minutes ago, we're going to save that for an hour. So I'm going to throw what's pressing out there. You know, those of us on the East Coast have experienced a snowstorm, so I know we've been locked in watching a little TV. So what's our thoughts? Any thoughts on the I'll start with our political scientist, Brother McKee. Any thoughts on this government shutdown?
Yeah, I mean, where do we start? I would describe it as, of course, we've had them in the past. I think our longest shutdown in modern history was about 18 to 19 days. I think we had one in 2013. And, you know, go online and Google it, and you can see what it does mean and what it doesn't mean. This particular shutdown, in my eyes, is kind of the manifestation of campaign rhetoric that turned into an agenda of our president that out the gate we knew that it was going to run into some serious problems when it concerned passage. Let me first say, we haven't had a budget for 3 years. And what they are proposing is to kick the can down the road, we call it in politics. And you kick the can down the road instead of drafting a budget. And so we call it CRs, or continuing resolutions, which is where you're not agreeing on a full budget. You're agreeing to continue for a designated number of days. And they usually do a CR, a continuing resolution, for 3 more months, which keeps the government open, but it doesn't solve the problem. And continuing resolutions are funded at the previous year's budget rate, which really negatively impacts the funds as a whole, because you don't control for the increase of living wages and all that things. You're just keeping it at last year's budget. So I kind of sum this up by saying chickens coming home the roost, in the sense of President Trump saying he wants a wall. It was great for his base. It got a lot of momentum in his campaign. The decision to have a wall, very controversial. The majority of Americans really don't want it. How do you fund it? How do you master it geographically, going over streams and mountains, and the damage to the ecosystem? Very controversial. And it's something like, and he said Mexico would pay for it. Well, Mexico's not paying for it. He's asking American taxpayers to pay for it. And that's a hot button item that's a big obstacle to getting a CR done. Last thing I'll say, you got things like CHIP. The Children's Health Care Insurance Program, that's always proposed by the Democrats, tough to swallow by the Republicans. They're agreeing to some degree of it, so we got past the CHIP hurdle. But then there's DACA, which is the Dreamers, which are immigrants, the children of immigrants that have been here maybe since 2 years old. They're now 18 and 19. They come from impoverished countries with a high crime rate, no disrespect on those countries. And how we handle all of that with a bombastic president that put stuff out there that just created controversy inside his party, but definitely controversy with Chuck Schumer and the Democrats of the Senate. And in the Senate, you need a supermajority to pass any bill. So you need 60 votes. We got 100 senators. You need 60 votes. There are 51 Republicans that make up a Republican majority in the Senate, but they always have to coerce and cajole at least 9 more Democrats. They got 4 or 5 of them from red state Democrats, but getting those 5 or 6 has been impossible. So that, a lot of people say that's a non-democratic structure in the Senate. But so that's kind of a long-winded way of saying no telling how long it'll run. But it's going to affect people in a great way.
Yeah, I feel you. And I just want to say, chickens coming home to roost. Brother William, I might have to silence you for 90 days. No, but anyway, shout out to the Honorable. But
Spike Lee.
Anybody else got any thoughts on the government shutdown? Anybody know anybody that utilizes government programs that may be affected by this or anything?
I do too. That's where, yeah. So I'm in the field of mental health and wellness, and so most of the clients that I have Medicaid and Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a government shutdown, then that money will not be sent to the office.
Yeah.
I.e., I would not get paid. So, the clients would be able to use their benefits to get medicine and stuff. So,
yeah,
it definitely will affect me. So I don't know what's going on, but they need to go ahead and get that together, because Duke Power don't care about no government shutdown.
That's right.
You know, so.
All right, Brother D.
As most of you know, my wife is a chemical engineer for the EPA in the division for Homeland
Security. That's what's wrong with you. Oh, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So, yeah, we get affected every time we have silly conversations about what everything McKee eloquently stated a second ago. But I propose something. This is going to sound funny. But I propose something that Democrats should do. Give them the wall.
Okay.
Now,
I mean, is this cat and mouse game?
Sound controversial.
I'm saying.
Yeah. But give them the wall. Here's why I said give them the wall. Because he can't pay for it no damn way. Where are you going to get the money from? So all you're giving them really is a sheet of paper that says, hey, look, you can build a wall as long as you can come up with the money. You're not going to be able to come up with the money for it without raising taxes. That probably changed the trajectory of the current tax bill to have them draft a new tax bill to get the wall paid for. And your middle American white people who were on board for this until they had to pay for it, let's see how long they're on board with it. When there's a bill drafted that says, hey, look, y'all got to pay for it now. And then let's see what happens from there. But the money, I say give it to them because this is something that will never come to me. Because it's never a real thing that could happen. This isn't real. It's kind of like telling kids that, telling your daughter there's a unicorn. And she's like, let's go out in the woods. You're like, you know what, baby, I was. There's no unicorn. She's like, nah, there's a unicorn because you said it. You know what, let's go walk through this wood once so you can see it ain't no unicorn. Is give it to them so people can see this was never going to happen anyway, no matter how many times he said it. He said he got a job for coal miners. That didn't happen. I mean, it's nothing Donald Trump has said he's going to do has actually come to fruition. But yet, much like Obama from the 08 elections was catching grief from what came down from the previous administration, this administration is taking credit for what the previous administration's successes were. So the economy is in a boom in some areas. They're taking credit for that, but that has to do with Donald Trump. But his people and his constituents are too stupid to understand that. So what we'll look at is giving him what he said he could do. It's like, all right, you said you can make magic if I gave you a hat, right? Well, let's stop talking about how you can make magic if I give you a hat. Now you got the hat. Make magic. And the only way to call a BSer is to put them on Front Street and go, all right, here you go. You got everything that you said that you needed to do what you need to do. See you make it happen. And see if they can make it happen. You can't make it happen. You're trying to argue logical people. So why don't we just stop arguing the logic, give it to them, and let them try to make something happen that we all full well know he can't. Why not?
I mean, they had to know that that the Republicans were going to use that as leverage to try to get what they want. You know, they always, you know, use that. It's like a give and take. Well, you give us this, we'll give you that. Even though we really didn't want you to, we weren't for it anyway. But in order to keep paying soldiers and military and people that depend on the government for, you know, their livelihood, then it's your fault. And everybody wants to point the finger at everybody and at the expense of people who are trying to live at the expense of Americans. So, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right, because look at it with Obamacare. It's called the Affordable Care Act. It was already in place because it was a Mitt Romney idea. He had already put it in place in Massachusetts. So it was what they call Obamacare is really a Republican idea anyway. And they worked it out so it could be some, so it could be bipartisan. But because partisan politics, they turned their own idea into evil and had people against it. And we've seen where they've done basically these studies here and there where they asked people about Obamacare in the South. They asked the poor white people in the South about Obamacare, and they're against it. But when you rename it the Affordable Care Act, which is what it actually is called, then they're for it. They love the idea of it as long as on it, and
many of them didn't even know they were on the Affordable Care Act. Many of them didn't know that they benefited from the Affordable Care Act or / Obamacare. So that tells you right then and there they did anything not to support, you know, any agenda that President Obama had. But we can say the same for Donald Trump. You know, if Donald Trump comes up with a good idea, you know, just because it's Trump, some people will be like, nah, even though it'll benefit you in the long run, some people are going to be against it regardless because it's Trump. So, I mean, they need to quit playing with people's lives and come up with a solution.
Yeah. I'm probably one of the people because I've seen the stuff he's tried to do not work so much that any good idea he comes up with, I just feel like it'll fail. But it is because he's Trump, but it's not because I hate Donald Trump, because I've never seen anything Donald Trump do to me. So while I trust anything else, it could be a good idea, but it would be hard to, that does sound awesome, but you tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater halfway through. I don't know if I want to talk to you.
Yeah. No doubt. Brother McKee, any rebuttals? Or
no, I think that the length of the shutdown, and we've had shutdowns before, as we know. And if it's a shutdown that lasts a sum total of this weekend, that's one thing. If it lasts a week and a half, that's one thing. If it becomes extended beyond what we've seen in the past, the nation's in crisis behind this shutdown. And we're seeing things that have never happened before politically that have happened all of last year. So hopefully this won't be another one of those things.
Very important. A lot of people are affected by it. So let's hope the government works this thing out or we get an extension. But want to transition to something else while we got a few more minutes left. And Dr. Douglas, I'm going to swing this to you because I believe earlier this week, Monique came on and said, had some passing thoughts about Netflix. And I actually scrolled through, saw it, but I didn't really get a chance to sit and listen to what her thoughts was. I'm not sure if McKee or Brother D are familiar with it. So you may have to explain like what actually happened or what she said. But go ahead and you want to kind of discuss that?
Yeah, so earlier this week, a couple of days ago, Monique took to Twitter, social media, to call for a boycott of Netflix. And the reason being is that they were in a negotiation for Monique to do a stand-up special. More recently, you've seen Dave Chappelle had a stand-up special, Chris Rock, Amy Schumer, which is a white female comedian. They've had Netflix stand-up special along with a host of other people. So Netflix offered Monique $500,000 for her to do the show, and she felt like that wasn't worthy of her time and her status. And she pointed out that they paid Amy Schumer, which, again, hadn't been as famous a longstanding comedian as Monique, $11 million or a a couple of million, and so and so she was upset about that. And also they paid Dave Chappelle like $20 million for his stand up special. So she felt like it was unfair, it was gender bias and racial bias, and she wanted black people pretty much to stand up and boycott Netflix until Netflix will come to an agreement of why it is important for her to get as much money. Now, the backlash to that is that a lot of people were not on Monique's side. They felt like that she has always caused enough trouble, and she should be glad that Netflix came to her, and or she came to Netflix, and they were willing to give her any type of money for a Netflix special. My opinion on this is that, aside from Monique speaking out on a lot of issues that she's had with Lee Daniels in the past, Oprah Winfrey in the past, she deserves more than $500,000 for a stand-up special. She won an Oscar. You know, she won awards. So she definitely, if she doesn't get $11 million, she definitely deserves, for me, at least $2 or $3 million for her work. Because truth be told, people still want to hear from her. And she stepped on a lot of people's feet, and she bumped a lot of heads with a lot of major people in the industry. And so that would be the reason why they offered her such a low amount. And that's pennies compared to, you know, she was a queen on the Queens of Comedy tour, made more money than that. So that's my question is, do you think Monique deserves more than $500,000 for a comedy special on Netflix?
Well, if I may weigh in, and I'm going to be brief, I go two ways on that. I feel, yes, she should have gotten more just for some accomplishment. But, you know, we have to look at this, and I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm not going to take a side more money. But like you said, she's won an Oscar. You know, I can see where she may have taken this as an insult. But on the flip side also, you have to look at demographic. If you look at the Dave Chappelle demographic, the Amy Schumer demographic, they're probably a lot similar. And that's probably the majority of folks or viewers that patronize Netflix. Then you look at Monique's accomplishments. They were in a movie, in Precious. But stand-up-wise, she hasn't done a lot. So, you know, I think Netflix felt they had a bargaining chip. If you look at the demand for Monique, not a lot of people have been knocking down the doors for Monique to come back and do stand-up that I know of. I think she's a hilarious sister, and I think she should get more money. But I don't know if you look at in demand and compare it to patronage, if she's going to get the Dave Chappelle Schumer money. You know what I'm saying? So I agree with that, Tucker, where you said maybe $2 million, $3 million, because she is a household name. So I think she will get definitely black viewers. But I don't think she crosses over as much as those other two. Well, I ain't going to even say Schumer crosses over, but, you know, Dave Chappelle has that crossover value. So that's just my thoughts on it. Brother D, where you at?
I mean, I don't. She doesn't demand the market for Dave Chappelle. I can understand the issue, but these aren't markets that Monique would demand. To be completely honest, like I love her comedy, but in terms of relevancy within the time these people have done it, Monique doesn't demand the stand-up market of Dave Chappelle or Amy Schumer. And I think that's what kind of throws it off for a lot of people who do revere Monique in a way, at her accomplishment. But a lot of it does have to do with relevancy and recent. And I think looking at what Dave Chappelle had done on the stand-up circuit per se, I cannot tell you the last time I've seen Monique in stand-up. But what some of these people do in the stand-up circuit is very different than what's done. So we'd have to look at that. And as much as I love her, I don't think she should get more, just as much, but definitely more, and more than $500,000. Like that is like maybe she shouldn't get 70, because Dave Chappelle got 70.
Yeah.
But
you know,
maybe 5-10, maybe, but not 70. Definitely not that much.
Yeah. Brother McKee.
Well, like you've already said, I agree. Very talented, extremely brilliant woman that deserves her worth in any arena she goes into. My question would be throwing the word boycott around.
Right.
Boycotts are serious.
Yeah, it's extreme.
We cheapen the boycotts when we just call them for anything.
Right.
And sometimes we have a good point, but when you go to see, when I think boycott, I'm thinking companies that are, for example, not doing business with other minority subcontractors, things that affect
right.
a broad swath of our community. What you do to one person is important, especially to that person. But calling for a boycott like a knee-jerk reaction, I would think that once people hear that, I think her broadcasting what happened and having people kind of come to that conclusion, not her, but people saying that's worthy of a boycott. And I think when we have these terms, you know, we always into entertainment and music and things like that. We've got to become into industries that make society run. You know, we can't just be the community of the latest comedian. We've got to be the community that is feeding the world, because we have farms out an hour too. I mean, this entertainment law and all that, I get into it, but the word boycott, when you just want to do that for one person, you got to be careful that you don't devalue a tactic that has done so much for people over the course of our time. So, but I hope she gets what she deserves as far as and I wasn't a fan of her going to mass media for her disagreements with Lee Daniels and Oprah Winfrey. I think you can do whatever you want because you got free will. But
right.
if you're going to now call on this same community to stand with you, then you got to treat that community with some discretion. So you call
right.
those people up. You talk to them personally.
Right.
And then make a decision if you're going to put them on blast like that. Because it'll be people that will see her in that same light that's up under her and say,
right.
well, I hollered at so-and-so at a show. She didn't call me back. So I'm gonna take the Twitter on them. Until we get more of a spirit to cover each other instead of expose each other.
Yeah.
We undermine people that we need to, you know, let's correct Lee in a private setting, but let him keep flourishing to build his empire. Same with Oprah. Let's get her at a conference. Let's get some minority Netflix in existence.
Right.
So that it's not always a complaint thing. And I know these are long-term solutions that take years, but we have to have a paradigm shift with how we attack some of these problems too. But I'm still a fan of Monique.
Let me say this. I think, you know, anytime you're into this show business, this entertainment business, there are going to be a lot of discrepancies amongst you and whoever holds the cards. And so, like you
right.
said, Will, it's very, it's very, I wouldn't say it's immature, but I think it's a bad business move to call people out in the media when even if you disagree with them and how you've been treated, to call them out in the media is just putting a target on your back. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the black industry is such a small industry that, you know, people are gonna stick together,
you know, well, he put me in this movie, so I can't, you know, I like Monique, she cool, but I can't be with her on this because that's you messing up my money. But I think she was very, and you know, you get emotional, especially when you put so much time, so much effort with your talent, your artistry into a business, and they don't appreciate you. But you know, at the same time, you gotta make these money moves, like Cardi B say. And what I mean that if you feel like you're being discriminated against or there's bias against you, then what else can you do to make your money? You know, like, you know, you need to find other ways for revenue, find other ways to make your money. Then once you get your money up, then you can start creating developing this industry for yourself, and then bring up other people along. So I think, you know, you're right. They throw around the boycott situation just because you disagree or you felt like, oh, they should have gave me more money. And nah, this is a time where everything is so sensitive that everybody wants to throw out, okay, we need to do this, we need to come together and this and this and that. But I like Monique. But have I ever paid for a show to go see her? Honestly, I have not. I paid for Kevin Hart. I paid for Dave Chappelle. I paid for even some more. And I was at, you know, I paid for the Kings of Comedy. Not to discount female comedians, but, you know, I haven't paid to go see a show from her. So would I like to see a Netflix show of Monique? Yeah, I just want to hear what she got to say. But am I going to pay money to go see her? I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
I like the movies that she's been in. And I also wouldn't pay to go see Amy Schumer. I wouldn't even watch her on Netflix because I don't think she's funny. That's just me.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I mean, and once again, it goes to demographic, man. And, you know, it's like Amy Schumer, Middle America, Dave Chappelle, Black America, Middle America, you know, and it's just, I think it's just Monique. We have to deal with the reality that you're not in that type of demand. And I think a lot of that is, hate to say it, but it's some ego bruising. You know what I mean? Because you have to really sit down and start to evaluate, like, you know. But, you know, like you said, go out there and make your money. If not, well, get with a production company and film your own episodes and then shop them to some independent movie networks or set up a tour. Film it. Go to – you got HBO Go. You got all these other entities now. You know, and Brother McKee, valid point, too, on – just throwing out that boycott word because we devalue it, and those things are serious. And that's why I had to reevaluate my NFL protest decision. And there's been rumors floating around that I may be nominated for a SYAD award because of a recent decision. But I'm not going to go into that on this show because we don't have that kind of time. But, you know, if my name is in the hat, I'm ready to defend it. But anyway, with that, we're going to wind this out. Let me go to my super producer, D. Do we have a whole hour? You said going forward, right?
Yeah, going forward, we got a whole hour right now. This is just being up.
So we got about 7 minutes. But we do want to, if we do have anyone listening to this episode, kind of, you know, it is You Up Radio is the new name, You Up Radio. You can hit us up at You Up, YOUUP Radio at gmail.com. We're going to be on your social media soon. Not calling for no protests or boycotts. We're just going to be sending out love. We'll be on social media. This will be the new show platform going forward 2018. So with that said, some final thoughts. I'm going to kick it back to Brother McKee, and hopefully send the phone out while we got about 5 minutes left. Brother McKee, start us off.
I'm excited about the new platform, the new moniker, the new name, and the new vision and the new future for what I consider to be one of America's most hot and impactful dialogues that you can find out here. So I wish us the best of success. I know it's going to prosper. And I'm just excited about working with you guys and thankful to be in the company of your space and looking forward to the future.
True that. True that.
Yeah, that was a long eyeball. ditto to you, McKee. Ditto.
Doc, where you at, Doc? Brother D?
Yeah, we lost Dr. Douglas. She'll be back with McKee. But
okay. Brother
think,
D, final shouts.
Hey, gentlemen.
No, go ahead.
No, you got it, Brother D. I'll go after you.
I was just saying, just glad to be going to the hour show. We need it. Dr. Douglas gave us some a good conversation that we're going to go into next week, so. For the people who do get to listen to it, we came in with no music today. That will change.
No music.
We're
music.
We're going to end with
y'all
music today.
Y'all laughed at my suggestion. Y'all laughed at when I suggested that. But anyway. But yeah, well, no doubt. Well, on behalf of the show, we're going to go ahead and end it. And just tell everybody, look for next Saturday. It'll be a full hour. And we're going to go. We're going to dive into some topics and have fun with it. And the main thing we want to know is, are you up? So on behalf of the crew, You Up Radio, we're going to sign out. Brother D, take us out with your beatbox album.
Metro, don't trust you, I'm gonna shoot. Beautiful morning, yeah, the sun.